Good afternoon. My name is Dennis, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Wireless Ronin Technologies third quarter earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press star and the number two. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Al Galgano of Investor Relations for Wireless Ronin Technologies. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you and welcome everyone to Wireless Ronin's 2007 third quarter earnings conference call. I'm Al Galgano of Investor Relations for Wireless Ronin Technologies. Joining me on today's call are Jeff Mack, Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer, John Witham, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, and Scott Koehler, Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing. After brief comments from management, we will open up the call to your questions. But before we begin, I need to remind you that the information presented and discussed today includes forward-looking statements, which are made under the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Our actual results in future periods may differ materially, and you should not attribute undue certainty to our forward-looking statements. Risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ from those expressed or implied by forward-looking statements include those set forth in the cautionary statement we filed on Form 8-K on August 11, 2007. In addition, our comments will contain certain non-GAAP financial measures, including adjusted operating loss. For additional information, including a reconciliation from GAAP results to non-GAAP measures, how the non-GAAP measures provide useful information, and why we use non-GAAP measures, please see the non-GAAP reconciliation section of our press release, which appears on our website at www.wirelessronin.com. I'd like to now turn the call over to Jeff. Jeff?
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Today, we're pleased to report Wireless Ronin Technologies' 2007 third quarter results. During today's call, I will highlight a few of our accomplishments during the quarter. Scott Koehler will briefly outline for you our sales strategy going forward, and John Witham will recap the financials. I'll conclude by commenting on what we see as we look across the competitive landscape and the selling environment for 2008, as well as discussing key elements of our business to highlight our progress going forward. With three quarters of 2007 now complete, we're confident that we have built a solid foundation for our company's future success. Wireless Ronin is a strong company with a unique and highly differentiated technology platform, driven by our state-of-the-art proprietary software and a unique sales approach designed to successfully address opportunities in the digital signage marketplace. The strength of our balance sheet and our cash reserves gives us a solid financial platform to continue to pursue the significant market potential in digital signage. We've made significant investment in building a high-quality sales team with a supporting infrastructure both here and in our Canadian office to ensure our future success as the company's pipeline continues to grow. We're encouraged as we look at the year-over-year growth through the first 9 months of 2007 and our ability to maintain gross margin levels in the 40% range. Though we were disappointed last month when we saw the need to lower our revenue expectations for 2007, I'm confident as I look at the opportunities in front of us to expand within key vertical markets. Later in the call, Scott Koehler will outline those areas of opportunity for you. While we remain steadily focused on day-to-day execution and our goal to build a platform that will be successful in the near and long term, we are pleased as we look at what the company's been able to achieve over the first three quarters of 2007. In the third quarter, the company reported sales of approximately $1.1 million, compared to sales of $1 million during the same period last year. While the quarter revenue performance shows a 10% year-over-year growth, more importantly, over the first three quarters, we generated $4.4 million of sales revenue, a 128% increase over the $1.9 million generated over the first 9 months of 2006. As we've explained in prior conference calls, there's considerable amount of variability in our sales cycles, which makes quarter-to-quarter sales revenue a challenge to predict. Nevertheless, we remain confident in the sales momentum generated thus far in 2007, the sales activity created during the third quarter, and the overall continued and increased demand for RonaCast. During the quarter, we also continued with the integration of our acquisition of McGill Digital Solutions of Windsor, Ontario, a provider of custom interactive software solutions primarily used in e-learning and digital signage applications. As we've discussed, the acquisition has added value to RonaCast and has further differentiated our product offering. In addition, it's combined two powerful sales forces and helps us expand our reach to the automotive market. We are pleased to see an increase in customer adoption of digital signage, expansion in our sales opportunities, and continued validation of our technology. Through key strategic partners as well as our expanded direct sales force, we've successfully built a diverse sales channel that's beginning to pay off. Last week, Wireless Ronin was the recipient of this year's Technia Award, which recognizes excellence for Minnesota-based technology companies. We won within the category of IT software and hardware and communications and infrastructure for small and growing businesses, further validation of our product offering and supporting technology. So at this time, I'd like to turn over the call to Scott Kohler to give you a brief snapshot of our sales strategy as we move towards 2008. When I come back later in the call, I'll give you my thoughts regarding the selling environment as we head into 2008 and some of the performance metrics that you'll be able to use in order to gauge our success and effectiveness going forward. Scott?
Thanks, Jeff. I would like to take this opportunity to give a quick update on the progress of our sales initiatives. In November of 2006, we were in the process of completing our initial public offering. Our confidence as we looked ahead to 2007 was supported by our agreement with Sealy and an opportunity pipeline of $125 million. In addition, early in 2007, our agreements with Newsight further strengthened our confidence in achieving our sales targets and revenue goals. Let me put our recent performance into proper context. The previously announced delays in the Newsight and Sealy projects were just that, a delay with two customers. Although this has negatively impacted our 2007 sales, the majority of our sales efforts continue to gain a significant amount of momentum, which has resulted in a 128% increase year-to-date over 2006. In addition, 2007 has yielded several large new clients, including Reuters, and our strategic relationships with Richardson Electronics, Checkpoint, and PartnerTech continue to grow. Finally, the acquisition and subsequent integration of McGill has greatly strengthened our product offering, client value proposition, and our opportunity for growth within the automotive industry. So, in comparison to where we were last year at this time, today as we prepare for 2008, we are looking at an opportunity pipeline in excess of $300 million, an impressive client list which includes names such as Yum Brands, Chrysler, Travelocity, Teva, Ford Motor Company, and Reuters. We also have a number of other potential clients which we are confident will yield positive results in 2008. We will update you on these as they are appropriate. In addition, we have assembled an outstanding sales staff consisting of 10 sales professionals with sales regions throughout the U.S. and Canada. We continue to provide the necessary training and marketing support needed to ensure their success. Although sales cycles continue to be difficult to predict, acceptance of our technology continues to grow in key verticals, including retail, automotive, banking, QSR. And as our customers will attest, Wireless Ronin continues to provide a level of customer service that is unparalleled in our industry. The result is a tremendous amount of confidence today in our sales effort, product offering, industry positioning, and our ability to take advantage of the opportunities that we see in front of us. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to John Witham to give you a little more detail on our financial performance in the third quarter.
Thanks, Scott. We reported third quarter 2007 total sales of approximately $1.1 million, a 10% increase from $1 million in the third quarter of 2006. The bottom line, we experienced a $2.4 million net loss in the third quarter of 2007 compared to a $2.2 million net loss in the third quarter of 2006. The slight increase in net loss from the year-ago quarter was primarily attributable to the small increase in sales activity during the quarter, a decrease in interest expense being offset by increases in operating expenses. The net loss was also partially offset by $468,000 of interest income from cash invested. In the third quarter of 2007, we reported a basic and diluted loss per share of 17 cents compared to a basic and diluted loss per share of $2.53 last year. While our sales performance and other factors held the net loss essentially flat from the prior year on an absolute basis, the per share net loss was further reduced by the increased number of outstanding common shares as a result of our initial public and follow-on offerings in November 2006 and June of 2007. For the first 9 months of 2007, we reported sales of $4.4 million in comparison to $1.9 million during the first 9 months of 2006. Net loss for the first 9 months of 2007 was approximately $6.4 million, or 55 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to $6.3 million, or $7.79 per basic and diluted share last year. Gross margin for the third quarter was approximately 37%, a slight decrease from approximately 39% in the prior quarter. The margin was impacted negatively as a result of the staffing up of our Network Operations Center, or NOC, which we did earlier in the year. We anticipate that hosting more units from our clients will benefit our gross margin. We continue to target a goal on an annual gross margin of approximately 40%. Total operating expense for the third quarter were $3.2 million, an increase of approximately $2 million from the third quarter of 2006, an $815,000 increase from the second quarter of 2007. The year-over-year increase was primarily due to the additions of staffing, investments in additional sales and marketing to support growth, and increased legal and professional fees due to the company becoming a public entity. The sequential increase was primarily due to the addition of the operating expenses resulting from the acquisition of McGill and a provision for vacating our premises building for our previous building of $191,000. Earlier in the year, we discussed the additional expense incurred to augment our sales force and build out our NOC to meet the increased demand for digital signage, investments that preceded anticipated sales. As sales levels grow and we see momentum, we believe this situation will come back into parity. You may have also noted in our earnings release a reconciliation between GAAP and adjusted operating loss. We included this to highlight how we are looking at profitability for the company. It is similar to EBITDA, but adjusted for certain one-time items and FAS 123R expense for stock-based compensation. Turning to the balance sheet, I'd like to highlight our cash position. At the end of September 2007, cash and cash equivalents, in combination with marketable securities and restricted cash, totaled $33.8 million compared to $15.5 million at December 31st, 2006. The increase in our cash position from 2006 levels is primarily the result of our initial public offering in November of 2006 and the successful completion of our follow-on stock offering in June of 2007. The cash burn for the quarter resulted primarily from two items. First, we spent $3 million for the acquisition of McGill, which closed in August, and second was the funding of our net loss for the quarter. A couple of new items on our balance sheet include income taxes receivable, goodwill, and other comprehensive income from foreign currency translation. Income taxes receivable primarily relate to the S&R and ED credit in Canada, or Scientific Research and Experimental Development Credit, and other income taxes tax refunds due in Canada. Goodwill is the excess of payments made for our acquisition over the tangible book value of our business. In the coming weeks, we will do a formal evaluation to create the proper intangible assets we have acquired. And finally, the other comprehensive income for foreign currency translation is the account for the balance sheet conversion of the foreign acquisition McGill into U.S. dollars. Finally, as we also discussed in a previous press release, we have secured our accounts receivable of $1.8 million from Newsite Corporation with a note and are holding certain collateral, which helps us to ensure that the accounts receivable are fairly stated at September 30th, 2007. Now I'd like to turn the call back over to Jeff for closing comments. Jeff?
Thanks, John. As I commented at the top of the call, we continue to focus on cultivating and capitalizing on a robust multi-channel sales pipeline, deploying capital strategically in day-to-day execution. Currently, our active pipeline, which accounts for proposals made to prospective companies, is nearly $157 million, with an opportunity pipeline which includes additional expansion opportunities in those accounts of more than $300 million. As you can see, we continue to see tremendous enthusiasm for RonaCast among current and prospective customers. We've demonstrated how our product offering and software can support diverse types of applications across many vertical markets. Yeah, we do not believe it is appropriate to give 2008 revenue projections at this time due to the unpredictable sales cycles and the implementation delays we discussed last month. At the end of the day, we believe that the digital signage industry is still in its early stages with tremendous growth potential. With continued improved hardware pricing and customer adoption of digital signage, that growth potential is there to be realized. We are very confident as we see the opportunities that lie ahead of us and our ability to capitalize on them, yet we prefer to take a more cautious approach in predicting that momentum. I do, however, believe you can easily get a sense of the increased activity that we continue to see. Over the past several quarters, we've been announcing several of the tests that we are currently executing with our clients. Let me take this opportunity to point out that while these are tests, they are excellent barometers of the momentum we are generating. In our industry, the ability to go to the test phase with a client typically means you are in the very late stages of the sales process and are starting to cement a permanent relationship. So use these announcements to gauge the level of activity and further acceptance of RonaCast in the marketplace. Let me also take a moment to further outline for you some of the noteworthy metrics you can use to measure the success of our sales efforts over the past couple of years and how you may view our success going forward. First, our current number of clients totals 79. This is more than double over the past 2 years from 31 customers in 2005. Next, we are currently supporting over 5,700 displays for our clients, up from 764 last year and approximately 600 in 2005.
Of those displays that we are supporting for our clients, more than 2,100 are being hosted and managed from our Network Operations Center, or NOC, in Minneapolis, forming a solid foundation of recurring revenue streams. Additionally, 2,800 automotive displays are being managed through our Canadian office in Windsor, Ontario. Last, as a result of our acquisition of McGill Digital Solutions, we currently have nearly 100 associates supporting our operations and business development efforts. This is up from 39 associates last year at this time. Approximately one-third of those associates are in our Canadian office, with the remainder in the U.S. Our infrastructure is in place and highly leverageable, with expertise in sales, project management, programming, systems engineering, design, procurement, product development, and our 24/7, 365 Network Operations Center. So hopefully this gives you a sense for the momentum that we are generating, the scale that we've built to support that growth. I'll continue to outline these metrics for you as we move forward in order to give you a sense of the activity that we are seeing. On a final note, let me reiterate those elements that make Wireless Ronin a strong company as we head towards 2008. We believe that our platform embodies several strengths that give us an edge in the market. They are an unparalleled technology platform that combines our proprietary wireless delivery system, centralized content control, and our ability to accommodate any network and hardware environment. The flexibility to deliver both enterprise and hosted solutions. Turnkey wireless and wired delivery solutions. An efficient sales model supported by strategic partners and a recently expanded direct sales force. A clean, flexible balance sheet with sufficient cash reserves. And finally, a highly scalable business model. This is key to achieving our profitability objectives, as we've built the necessary capacity to be able to add volume while holding expense levels down in the future. As we mentioned before, the digital signage industry is fragmented. This gives Wireless Ronin two opportunities. First, from a sales perspective, as we continue to demonstrate to potential clients the advantages of our offering versus that of the smaller, not as well capitalized competitors, with our proven technology and model design to take full advantage of the opportunities in digital signage worldwide. Second, we can continue to take advantage of the consolidation opportunities to acquire additional scale and to augment our product offering. So before I open this call to your questions, let me close by saying that we are indeed proud of what we've accomplished over the past year as we've transitioned into becoming a public entity. In 2006, when we were contemplating a public offering, we were looking at an opportunity pipeline, as Scott mentioned, of $125 million, and our agreement with Sealy. Today, as we look towards wrapping up our first year as a public company, we have an opportunity pipeline in excess of $300 million. We have a client list that includes multiple and powerful brand names that span a number of verticals and installations worldwide. An expanded offering with our acquisition of McGill Digital Solutions. A leverageable infrastructure to handle our growth objectives. And solid strategic partnerships, along with a refined sales strategy with more focus on specific vertical markets. Progress like this only results from a truly differentiated product offering, a solid value proposition, and strong fundamentals. At the end of the day, these are the reasons for optimism and enthusiasm. That concludes our prepared remarks. We now have time to take your questions. We'd like to open up your call for Q&A.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question will come from the line of Jim Goss with Barrington Research.
Hi, a couple of questions for a starter. First, I was wondering what the McGill revenue and expense levels were in the third quarter numbers you just reported, and separately, the 10 sales professionals is a significant step up. I was wondering if you could talk about the compensation levels and nature and the run rate of those expense levels and how much is fixed and variable.
Jim, we've not, where we publish McGill, and our intent is not to have to break out. Our intent in the future is to integrate McGill more and more. I think as you look at the 8K we can file, you can get a sense of where their revenues were for the first 6 months. They were in the $9.5 level, $9.6. I think as you see in the 8K, we had about a month and a half of revenues in there for this quarter than we actually when we owned the company. I think we could talk about them generally. It's $400,000 or $500,000. But our intent as we go forward here is to try to not break them out, because as we further integrate, I think we lose the identity of McGill and we become Wireless Ronin consolidated. From an expense level, I think one of the things I've talked about and I think we've talked about in the past here on the calls, is we targeted probably around the $2.5 million cost structure for Wireless Ronin U.S. I think as you look at our cost structure today that we reported, it's about $3.2 million. In that 3.2 was this $200,000 for the shutdown previous facility that we were in. There was another $150,000 or a couple hundred thousand for the FAS 123. The primary difference from that and the 2.5 becomes the piece that's McGill. McGill was about $300,000 or $400,000 in the numbers this quarter. So as we look at our run rate of expenses, will go up slightly as a result of the acquisition of McGill, but so do the revenues. And also, as we, as you saw in some of our previous press releases, not only are we including their expenses, but their margins. I think we've targeted their margins in excess of 50%. So we believe that as we go forward here, their product offering, our product offering, our 40% gross margin, we think we're very comfortable with that, and with the addition of their 50%, we'll even feel more comfortable. Your second question again, Jim, I'm sorry, was about fixed and variable?
Within the sales staff, because obviously that's going to be variable oriented, but I was just wondering what the base level is and how we might look at that.
You talking about sales compensation?
Just for the sales professionals.
You had mentioned a significant increase. It really isn't. Three of those sales professionals came over from the McGill acquisition.
Okay.
Our force here has only expanded by two throughout this year. So we have a total of six sales professionals in-house here, seven in-house here, and three in Canada. So it wasn't significant. It was an addition of two in Minneapolis and then the acquisition of McGill.
Okay. I'll get back in line if I want more. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Your next question will come from the line of Arthur Friedman with Friedman Asset Management.
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. I actually also have a number of questions, but I'll start with just two. My first question sort of piggybacks what I was going to also ask about the McGill, because actually I did look at the 8K, and I was surprised to find out that for the first 6 months of the year, they actually had a net loss of $257,213. So I was trying to understand, one, if you see a positive cash flow eventually coming in terms of the acquisition. In other words, why did you buy them? If to start with, for 6 months, they have a loss. And that was the first part. And also, the financials only go through June 30th. So since we're in November, I sort of wanted to get a sense as to how they did for the next 3 months. In other words, did they start to add, was it accretive to earnings, or are they adding more losses?
Again, for the first 6 months, again, is what we put out in the public domain is that their target of revenues is about $4 million for this year. So if you look at that page in the 8K that I assume you're referring to, shows the $1,583,000
right.
Revenue.
Uh-huh.
You can see that the revenues are tail-ended towards the last half of the year. So assuming the expense base is relatively flat, second half to the first half, you'd anticipate that the profitability would come. As it relates, again, you know, as we talk about the two businesses, it's clearly our strategy to integrate. I think the Chrysler product or the Chrysler proposal is a great example of what we're doing. It's a joint offering done by both sales forces here in the U.S. as well as Canada. So clearly we're going to lose the differentiation of having two legal entities and rolling them into one. But that said, yeah, I mean, as we look at McGill and you look at them historically, they have been profitable in the past. And we anticipate that they will be profitable in the future as well as accretive.
Okay, that's great. Another question I have, I'd like to talk a little bit about the accounts receivable, the $3,383,000. Taking out the note and looking at what's left outside of the note, that portion of AR, can you give it like just the average days outstanding in terms of when you think you're going to receive that funds?
The simple answer is about 30 days.
About 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll ask one more quick question and let someone else get in line. Can you give us some more color about that note? Because when I read that, it really concerned me. It almost sounds like your customer's possibly not going to pay you. Is that what's going on here? Or what's really going on with this note?
When the receivable came due in the end of September,
about September 18th. They came to us and said, we're in the process of raising additional capital, either through the public domain or the private investors. And at the time, they asked us if we would just defer the receivable. You can guess from the CFO's perspective, my answer was no, we'd like collection. They came back to us and said, listen, what we'd like to do with you is we'd like to offer you collateral for that receivable, and then that would also encourage you to complete the retrofit on the Myers network that they'd asked us to do. So what we did is we actually got, for the $1.8 million, we have a lien over the entire Myers network, not just the piece that we had funded, some million of eight of screens and so forth, but the entire Myers network that was actually put in place by another competitor of ours. So we have the ability to, the collectability of that receivable is, we believe, very good.
Okay.
So we are not worried about the collectability of September 3rd. Now, that said, you know, they are in the process of raising capital. They're a private company. Again, we know a little bit about it, but not a ton. And as we go through this quarter, we will evaluate that and make sure that that is still true. As you can guess, since we have retrofitted that network, we have a clear definition of all the hardware and equipment that's currently in those stores that we have a collateral over. So we have had a look at it. We do feel comfortable with our position, and we're looking to them to move forward and successfully complete their financing.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Abhinav Tyagi with Think Equity.
Hi, good afternoon. This is on behalf of Darren. Just have a few questions. Once again, repeating the same thing. Do you have some specific time frame when you expect the resolution on this new site note?
The note specifically, I mean, is the way it's structured is it's due on December 31st or the earlier of a completion of a financing transaction. So to the extent that a financing transaction is completed for any amount of dollars, that financing transaction, that cash comes to us first. The way we structured it is we were the first party to be paid out. So we anticipate, I mean, based upon discussions and what they anticipate doing, is that the offering should be done sometime in December.
And the second question is, how many screens is the company hosting as of the end of third quarter, and how has this changed since the second one?
Well, right now we're hosting through in Minneapolis about 2,100. Total screens, and then through Canada they've got a kind of a quasi mini version of a NOC where they're really focusing on the content management for about 2,800 screens and 2,400 Chrysler dealerships. That's up from, I believe, well, we actually just started installed the NOC in the end of last year, so we had probably 400 units as of the end of the last quarter, and I'd have to look at that number, but it's at 2,100 today.
And what is the ending employee headcount for this quarter?
At the end of the quarter?
We said it was about 100.
Yeah.
About a third of that is in Windsor.
Yeah, probably around 95, I think, at the end of the quarter.
All right, and one last question was, how much contribution does McGill have to your 4Q estimates looking forward?
How much? Well, if you look at the McGill transaction when we purchased it, they, as part of that transaction, we estimated that they would do $4 million for this year total for 12 months, and then $6.9 million for next year.
Yeah, and again, we have an earnout with the owners of the McGill, and in order to achieve that, they're to hit their approximately $4 million this year and approximately $7 million next year. Excuse me, at a 50% margin. So that's kind of what we're expecting, at least here in the near term. Now, obviously, the successes with some of the things like Chrysler could even make that even more advantageous for us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Nick Ryan with Feltl.
Hey, Jeff. So could you give us a little color on the Meijer network? How far that's been rolled out? Is it just the retrofit, or have you moved into new stores and also on the Reuters side?
Yeah, Dick, I'll answer that. Scott Kohler. We have completed the retrofit at 102 locations for the Myers network and have them up and running on our NOC. And as far as Reuters, we're at a total of 30 locations with them and with other locations. That just continues to roll out. So we have 30 locations that we're controlling in, I think, 9 different countries right now for Reuters, and 102 of the retrofits have been completed for Myers.
Are you moving into new stores with Myers yet?
Not at this point in time. I think that would be that would happen in the first quarter of 2008 is probably where it's targeted.
Okay. And just kind of a general question. Are you guys working with any of the ad agencies? I think that's been one of the things lacking, or, you know, in the infancy of the digital signage space, getting the ad agencies to, you know, have kind of digital signage in their presentations. Are you seeing any progress there with any of these?
We've seen some more focus on digital signage with ad agencies. Miguel has probably worked with the agencies more, in particular with Chrysler and BBDO. We haven't seen a lot of direct input coming in from ad agencies yet. I think they're still getting their arms around digital signage, new form of media, replacement for, you know, we talked about for TV and print and radio. So it's still an evolutionary process, and we talk to agencies. Obviously, having a CEO of one of the agencies on our board gives us the, you know, increased perspective on that. But I've seen a big change in the ad agencies, focus on digital signage as yet.
Okay. Scott, you mentioned some of the customers, Yum Brands. Can you update us what's going on with them?
Yeah, I can update that. We're currently installed in 5 locations with a menu board application for Kentucky Fried Chicken. One of those locations also has an outdoor digital signage play. In addition, one of those locations, one of their multi-brand locations, the KT's or the Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell. We have been approved by the KFC leadership team for a market test, and due to the nature of our agreement with them and the non-disclosure, I can't really talk details about that test, but we have been approved to move forward to a market test.
What's been the response to the outdoor sign?
Outdoor signage is very positive, very positive. As everybody knows in the industry, high-bright technology is fairly pricey. I think right now the focus will be on the indoor signs and then move forward to the outdoor initiative after that.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from the line of Michael Perna with AAD Capital.
Hey, good afternoon. Could you please just discuss the other revenue line? What's included in services and other?
Again, the biggest part of that, Michael, is the McGill revenues.
Oh, okay.
The lion's share of McGill's revenues are customized projects that they work on. For us, it's also where our NOC fees are. What else am I missing, Brian? I'm just thinking off the top of my head. The largest piece of the content is the huge, but at McGill, it's McGill Digital Solutions or Wireless Corona Canada is the largest piece of that.
Will McGill be in services and other moving forward?
Yes, as long as they continue to develop products as they do. To the extent that they move into, you know, more of a CAN solution or a solution that's not unlike what we do here in the States, where we break out the hardware. In the past, they've not sold a lot of hardware. So, the lion's share of their revenues, again, if you go back and look at the 8K that we put out on them, a couple callers earlier, we were talking about $1,500,000 or $600,000. Their entire revenues were in services and other.
Right. Okay, great. That's my only question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, simply press *1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is a follow-up question from the line of Arthur Friedman with Friedman Asset Management.
Yeah, hi. I have two more questions, again, focusing on the consolidated statements of operations. The first one, I just wanted to – I also had the same question about what was in the services category, so I just wanted to double-check something. So, in other words, when we look at the sales for the services versus the costs, it's basically consulting. Is that the idea? So it's the billing rate versus the actual rate paid to the employees?
Yeah, well, again, it's
the margin.
Right. In fact, in the case of – in the case of our Canadian operation, they have people both internally and externally they've hired to work specifically on these projects for customers that they customize for.
Right.
So their direct dollar costs are also included in cost of sales.
I see. I got you.
That is okay. A little different than what you've seen in the historicals with Wireless Ronin US.
Right. That's why I was trying to understand that. Okay. And then that's great. Okay. And then the second question is, I just want to understand this. When I look at the hardware for the 3 months ending September 30th for 06 and 07, the hardware basically stays the same. So the difference is in the $539,000 for 06 and the software. So can you just explain why the software revenue in 07 was less? What is it I'm not understanding there?
It depends on who the customer is. I don't have a breakout of what the individual customers are. We had some specific software sales only in 2006 that we didn't have in the third quarter of this year. So, to the extent that we would have had a similar thing, it would have been the same thing.
Is your margin rate higher on the software versus the hardware? Or?
Oh, absolutely. You know, right. Again, as we've talked about, the way we account for our software, it's almost all margins. So to the extent that I bill $100, it's 90%+. In fact, it's almost 100% margin as well. And in the case of McGill, again, because they're customizing and creating these things, we put their direct costs in there as well. They're into the cost of goods. So a little different, but again, consistently applied with GAAP.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Thank you.
Your next question is a follow-up question from the line of Jim Goss with Barrington Research.
Thanks. I have a few more. First, what are we looking at in terms of current projects that affect the quarter we're in right now? And as you look into next year, and you've talked about the retail, auto, and quick-serve restaurants as key verticals, how do you expect those projects to pace in once you do get to a go decision rather than just a test decision? And then I'll come back with a couple more.
Current projects in this quarter, we continue to see a lot of activity in the casino and gaming industry, Suncom, Harlow's, Fond du Lac. So we continue to install a lot of casinos. Other things that would affect this is the tests we're moving forward. Some of them we can't discuss, but we are launching a number of tests in the fourth quarter that we'll be able to recognize. In addition, as I mentioned, there's the possibility of recognizing revenue from the market test with KFC in this quarter. So it really ends up being a list of 30 or so different clients that we'll have something that we can build to this quarter.
What was your second question, Jim? As you go from, say, a five-star test with KFC or these other ones you have tests in, once you get to a decision where you are going to have a real project, do you think it will test or phase in over a longer period of time in short blips, or do you think it'll be a more significant type announcement? Just wondering how you're expecting.
It really depends on the customer. A lot of customers have issues of managing a rollout. They like it in all at one time so they don't have to manage with 10 locations in a major metro area having it and the 10 others not having it. With that said, you have to roll it out in a logical manner and a controlled manner to ensure the quality of the rollout. So a rollout, depending on the number of site locations, can be as little as a three-week time frame or as long as a six-month time frame, and it's really based on the customer and their tolerance for managing that many installs per day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I also think, to piggyback off what Scott said, if you look at it like a Yum Brands, they have both corporate as well as franchise stores, so it's going to depend on when the franchises want to bring it in. They may be more aggressive than the corporate, and Yum Brands will probably speak more to their corporate-owned stores versus the franchisees and kind of defer that out. So it's going to be a work in progress to evaluate it. Some of the other tests we're in are more specific, but in a case of one that size, I think there's going to be a number of factors that determine how we roll that out.
And that'll be a big push from the top down.
Yeah, absolutely.
CBS Outdoor made an acquisition called Sign Story that they've renamed CBS Outernet, and they're obviously getting more interested in this area. So is Clear Channel Outdoor. When you look at these larger competitors, do you view them as competitors or collaborators? How exactly will those relationships work out?
I don't view them as competitors. I look at them as maybe a collaborator or a partner. We are working with one of the two you just mentioned right now on a project in Las Vegas where we actually brought them into an opportunity where we would use their advertising network and their ad model to be complemented with our software to enable that process. So, no, we look at that as an opportunity for the company. We look at just as that's almost exactly what we're doing with partner tech over in Asia right now, similar type of model. So I think I mentioned that before on the call that we consider that as very opportunistic for us to be able to work with these companies.
So while they're involved in the ad sales, they don't really have the same type of technology you're saying or at the same level that you feel you have to offer.
So they're two different models completely. I mean, you almost have to differentiate the two. And the answer is yes. I mean, we're two different companies. They would use our software as we're doing in the Myers network to be able to enable the content to be displayed and managed and ultimately processed within the context of their ad model that they've developed. So, no, we look at them as partners.
And the last thing would be sort of a leveraging of the NAC, if you will. You've built up a certain infrastructure there, and there will be a certain cost level. You probably should not have to be contributing a lot more to beef that up for a while, for some period of time. Is that correct? So that's
as I alluded to, there is a group and a staff and a infrastructure in place right now to manage our growth for the foreseeable future. And you know, while there will be incremental probably growth in certain areas like the NAC as we bring on, you know, the type of numbers we're talking about, it's going to be tied to dollars, will be tied to the margins that we've got. We don't see it as a direct expense today. I think we've got the CapEx built into this infrastructure to allow us to leverage it with the opportunities that we've got.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Oz Tangen with Viterra Capital.
Good afternoon. Just a couple quick questions. Can you give us a little bit more color? And I know you've talked about this before, but as to how you come up with that proposal pipeline, $127
million. $157 million. A proposal pipeline is actual proposals that we've either responded to an RFP or been requested to provide pricing for a customer, but it means we've actually put a proposal in the hands of our customer for a project or for a network. The differentiation between that and the opportunity pipeline, a good example we could look at is, again, Carnival. We put proposals in their hands for four ships. We have installed on two of those, the third one coming up and the fourth one coming up. The real opportunity there we would look at is the rest of that fleet. So although we've only given proposals and the only thing that would show up in the proposal pipeline are the first four initial ships, the real opportunity is the remaining part of that fleet. Does that make sense?
Sure. So in that proposal pipeline, can you remind us what it was in the first quarter and the second quarter of this year?
I think it's progressively grown. I think at the beginning of the year we came in with about $125 million in that pipeline, and today it's $157 million with some of that being realized in sales. And so it had gone down and then filled back up with proposals.
Okay, great. And in terms of Reuters, you said you had about 30 screens at the end of the third quarter?
Yes.
So what was it the previous quarter? How many screens did you have in the second quarter?
Oh, I think it was single digits in the second quarter. Single digits, 8 or 9 in the second quarter. You remember, if you look at the press release, I think that press release went out late May, early June, when we were actually doing business with Reuters.
Okay. So, and what's kind of the pace? I mean, you guys have initial, 1,000 or 1,200. Are you installing, you know, a handful a month, or is it, I mean, what's the pace right now?
We We usually have 5 sites within a month we're sort of on pace to do now, and that will start to generate a larger number. If you remember, the InfoPoint program actually got turned off by Reuters until they found another technology to take over the 80 locations they had deployed and were having issues with. So the sales force has now been sort of reignited to go out and push the InfoPoint project, so I expect to see it expand much quicker than it has year to date. We've still sort of been, as far as Reuters goes, through not their technical team, but their sales team in the validation point as it goes out and they see it work properly. They have been sort of once bitten, twice shy, but it's starting to go at a more vigorous pace in the first quarter.
Sure. And in terms of, you mentioned the casinos you continue to install, Reuters you're continuing to install, and some of the tests. So over the next, let's say, 2 to 3 quarters, are there any bigger tests or market tests, if you will, that you're initiating other than KFC?
Well, there's other tests we've already announced. As I mentioned, Teva was one. And there's others that we will announce as we go forward. So the answer is clearly yes. We'll put that out, and that's why I alluded to the context of a test and what it means, because we intend to put that information out as we go forward here to give you some perspective as to what we're doing. But there's a number of companies we're doing that with, or we're in the process of getting documented at this point in time. So we'll get that out as soon as we know more.
Okay, that sounds good. And finally, in terms of the competition, in any of these tests, to your knowledge, are these companies, I'm guessing KFC doesn't have anybody else that they're testing their software or their products. Do you know of any other competitors that their product is being tested while, you're going through a test? Or what kind of competition do you see?
As we would say, and I think most of our competitors would say, when you've been selected for a test 9 times out of 10, that test has been, you have passed the screening process and you're going to go forward and validate your technology. Very, very few instances where we have, they've decided to test 1, 2, or 3 different products as they go forward. So a big part of the process is we see from initial engagement to putting proposal in hand to a technical validation, the test point of what we do is usually a non-competitive environment and you have to prove yourself. But there are a few instances where we've actually gone in and they've tested more than one product. But I'd say 9 times out of 10, you've made the screening process and are the chosen product to at least go forward in the test.
That sounds great. And finally, in terms of McGill, have they had any more installations in Canada? I guess they are doing a test in 10 locations in Canada. Is that the final number right now? Are there any other sites that they're adding to, any other dealerships?
No, right now that's where it stands in Canada, with 2008 citing 100 locations to be installed.
Okay. Sounds great. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
Your next question will come from the line of Peter Norton with Norton Capital Management.
I'm just, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just wondering if you can boil it all down and give us some guidance for the upcoming year or quarter or both.
That's the one thing we said that we're not going to be doing going forward here, is the idea of being to give you the same metrics that we look at as it relates to our progress, so that you can get a better idea. But we have clearly decided to stay away from guidance. We did talk about guidance for this year in the $6 to $8 million range. That hasn't changed. And we are, other than the guidance for 2007, which we've already put in place, we've elected to forego that and give you the metrics and the focal points that we talked about during the script.
Any particular reason why you won't give us guidance, even though you have in the past?
It's the same issue that we've been dealing with. We attempted to give guidance, and based on valid contracts and agreements we had in place, and we experienced a couple of delays, which are the risks associated with some of these clients. And we gave the guidance, and the risk came to fruition in 2 cases, so we had to revise it. The net result was that the focus on our progress really was focused on those 2 clients rather than the progress of the company. And I don't think at the end of the day that the benefit of what we've achieved this year, which is really, in my mind, beyond what we expected at the beginning of this year, was realized because of that focus on, as example, 2 clients and the risk of a delay. So Having said that, you're going to still see some variability in these sales cycles. You see some lumpiness in it. We had a question a moment ago that talked about how these larger contracts will roll out. We don't know. But when you start talking about, you know, locations in the hundreds or thousands of locations, clearly there's going to be some variability when that is, and that some will want to do it sooner than others. And as we know more, we will put that information out. As we have specific information we can put out publicly, we will. And I think that will give you the ability to gauge as much as you can, because we'll give you the same information everybody else has, our success. And I'm not trying to be avoidant on it. I'm trying to be more specific, to be honest, and try to give you the metrics to gauge our success. And I think at the end of the day, then when people look at where we stand, they'll have a better idea of our progress as it relates to, you know, the last quarter, the last year, and the opportunities we have going forward.
Okay. Would you then at least share with us at this point what you think break-even revenues might be?
Well, again, I think as we tried to talk about the cost structure, and I think it, when we talked about the cost structure in the past, we focused on the U.S., which is the wireless Ronin U.S. product, and we were talking about a $2.5 million cost structure with the quarterly. With the addition of McGill, I was said a little bit earlier in this call that they should probably add somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple hundred thousand dollars a month or $500,000 to $600,000 a quarter in their cost structure. So if you think 3 to 3.1, 3.2 as the operating cost structure, and again targeting a 40% margin, I think you can back into it from that perspective.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So our next question will come from the line of Richard Felton with Airtime LLC.
Hi, gentlemen. Just one question. Can you give us an insight on your focus and the expectations from your upcoming conventions? I believe there's a G2 convention in a couple days.
The G2E convention, we're actually participating in that convention for the gaming industry with Richardson Electronics, our partner out of Chicago. Early in the year, we'll be at the National Retail Federation Show, NRF, in January, followed quickly in February by Digital Signage Expo, which follows quickly by Global Shop. So you'll see us going to the gaming show next week with Richardson, and then January, February, and March, we'll have three quick shows.
Okay. Thank you much.
All those can be found on our website as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, everyone, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, to ask a question, simply press star one on your telephone keypad.
Dennis, is that it?
Yes, sir. At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank everyone for his or her participation on today's call. Please remember that today's call has been recorded and will be archived in the investor section of our website at www.wirelessronin.com. Also, this call will be available for replay for a period of 2 weeks. Again, the dial-in information from domestic and international locations can be found on our website. I'd like to remind everyone of our annual shareholders meeting next week, Thursday, November 15th. Please check our website for the logistics for this event. Again, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's call.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Wireless Ronin Technologies third quarter earnings conference call. You may now disconnect.